Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
Sunday to you, to everybody out there. Thanks for tuning in on this special edition of Totally Driven Radio. My name is Bay Ragney, and like I said, this is a special edition here tonight on Totally Driven Radio. We have our good friend, the one and only, you might know her as Nellie Olson, but we know her as Allison Arbor. And that's right. Actually, I talked to Allison. This was an interview was taped about a week and a half ago, and it was originally planned to be part of our big 300th episode. But what we did on the 300th episode is we had like 13, 14 different guests in 10-minute slots. And when I taped this, it ended up being like almost a 35, 40-minute interview. And when I went back and listened to it and wanted to edit it down to 10 minutes, it was just too good to edit. So I want to play in its full interview for everybody. So this way everybody can enjoy the interview as much as I did as I was doing it with Allison. So We talk about her book. We talk about all the fun things she does, and she's just an all-around fun person. She is the exact opposite of Nellie Olson, and we talk about that. We talk about how it's kind of hard to truly hate Allison. So many people hated her for so many years as Nellie, but they truly love Allison as Allison, and now have embraced Nellie Olson with lots of love, just like we have. So, without further ado, here she is, the one and only Allison Arbor, Miss Nellie Olson.
Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Very good.
It's been a while.
Well, yeah. How long has it been? When was the last time I did the show?
Actually, you know what? It's been about a year, I think.
Okay.
So you're doing...
I must be due.
You're due. Well, actually, it's our 300th show, so I said, you know what?
Oh, my.
We have to have Allison on. We have to.
It's like a special. Yeah, okay.
You know what's kind of shocking to me, though, with the whole thing? And it has to be shocking to you because, I mean, you went through such a long period of your career as being hated. But then when I make the announcement that you're going to be part of this, I get instant love. So many people are like, please tell Allison I love her. And I was just like, that's just so life-changing.
Right now, it's just like, squee! It's Nellie, squee! Yes. They love me. It's awesome.
It's got to be shocking for you, though.
Well, it's a hell of a turnaround. I was going to say, I've done well.
Oh, that's too funny. But is there anybody like that you do not win over? Like people that just refuse to love you?
I'm sure there's people who don't. Now, my husband would say no. He'd say, you get them all. It's terrible. Yet you do. Everybody loves you. They all love you. People try not to love you. They love you. I'm like, no, I swear to God, there's people who don't like me. But my husband's like, no, they're not.
Oh, it's so funny. I was even more shocked. Like, one of my friends, they're like, you know, I'm getting my husband into the show now. Like, I'm making him go back and watch it with me, and he's getting hooked into the show now. And I think it's funny, like, you know, all these years later, first off, like, that people didn't see the show, but second off,
right,
like, people are still growing to love the show after all these years.
We get new fans, new viewers all the time. It's a thing because people who didn't watch the first go round, or a lot, especially with the guys, like, they thought it was a chick show. And then, you know, eventually it's like, oh, no, that you should watch this now. Their wives are watching, the kids are watching it. And next thing you know, completely hooked.
That's too funny. So I heard you're doing a radio now.
I am. Every Tuesday at 5, I'm at it's a thing called UBN, Universal Broadcasting Network, and we're down at Sunset Gower Studios in L.A., nice little place. And I have all these marvelous people on, the Allison Arngrim Show. And, you know, of course, obviously knowing Harlan, having Harlan as a publicist, that makes it easy because I go, you got anybody who needs to come on the show? Yeah, 8 or 9 people. Okay. So, like, you know, throw me. But it's once I got started, after like the first 3-4 episodes, my phone started ringing, and writers and actors and voiceover people and people with books out and albums out started just calling me, can I come on? And I was like beating them off with a stick.
Yeah, see that? See, now you have to go to like twice a week.
I know, right? I have people who are like dying to be on this thing.
Yeah, it spirals. It gets very overwhelming, though.
I know. That's why I'm glad right now. It's just the once a week. I think I'd go crazy if I had to do it more often.
So, with the Nelly show, the Confessions of a Prairie Bitch that you do.
Yes.
Are you going to Japan possibly? Is that what I was reading?
Well, I'm really hoping that what happened is I go to all these events, and I was just at this thing, the Snake River Fandom Con, and it's in Pocatello, Idaho, and I guess it really is in Pocatello, Idaho. It wasn't just in the Judy Garland song about Born in a Trunk in the Princess Theater in the Pocatello, Idaho. There really is a Princess Theater in Pocatello, Idaho. But they have this thing, and it's a lot of sci-fi. There's Star Wars and Star Trek and zombies and mermaids and steampunk and it's just like everything in the world. And then they had me and Charlotte Stewart from Little House. And so they kind of had everything, and it was awesome. And there were a lot of people who did a lot of voiceover, a lot of anime, a lot of animation, a lot of cartoonists. And I met some people who said, yeah, we do a ton of voiceover for stuff in Japan. And this woman who's from Japan, and she was born in Japan to an American couple and all that. She's fluent in English and Japanese, and she goes back and forth and works in both countries. She's a marvelous woman. And she said, yeah, Little House is, of course, huge there. And I said, I've been dying to go. I know Little House is big there. I get a lot of mail. I meet people in Japan. She said, well, let me go talk to some people because they have events. They have comic cons. They have stuff. And I said, you know, let them know. I am available. They can call me. I am dying to go to Japan. They did a thing a couple of years ago where Friendly Family Productions, people have the rights, the Ed Friendly Estate, got together with Andover Fabrics, and they did fabrics for people who make quilts, because obviously people make quilts, a lot of crossover with the Little House in the Prairie fan base there. And they created a whole Little House license line of fabrics, gorgeous stuff, little Laura running across a field thing. And they had went to a quilt mart in Japan, and they went bananas. They had a whole covered wagon with oxen come out into the middle of the floor of the stadium. And it was out of control. And wow. So I said, I've got to go to Japan. They're mad. It's like France. You have France, Argentina, and Japan are probably the three countries that are the most gaga for Little House on the Prairie. And so I said, hey, I got to go to Japan. So I met all these people who work in Japan, and they said, well, we'll make some calls. I'm like, yeah, put me in touch with these people. So I'm making myself available to the Japanese market, making some calls. And then I just did this wonderful interview on Channel 10, was her name, Angela Bishop, big Australian news station. And I'd done stuff on their show by hookup before, but she did a one-on-one interviews in L.A. She was at the big Hollywood show where they did the big autograph thing. Well, they just ran it. And it was a huge thing, and everybody went bananas. Now, all these Australian people going crazy. Well, Little House is very big in Australia. So I said, all right, how do I get to Australia?
Yeah, because you already dominate France, so you might as well take over the other country.
I figure I should break into a couple other countries. I mean, that is really kind of how it started in France. There was such a fan base, and then I got to France. I was invited to come be on a talk show because a lot of the people were involved in the fan community. Made it clear to the talk show, you know, if you have Alison Argerman. And so I wound up on this talk show, and that was it. And then I was just invited back, and then things snowballed, and I met the right people, and I wound up having a show I do in France.
Wow. That's awesome.
So I'm like, well, how do I start with France?
Yeah, the whole Japan thing, I think that would be so amazing.
But I would love to. My dad went to Japan when I was about 10. My father went to Japan. He went with he was managing Susan Anton at the time.
Okay.
And he went with Susan Anton to the Tokyo Music Festival. And it was like a huge deal. It was a big, big thing. And he was there for quite some time, and he came back with all these, like, presents and stuff, and came back with these, you know, wild tales of fabulous high life in Japan. And I was like, oh, yeah, so I need to go there. So I've been wanting to go since, you know, basically I was 10. So.
Yeah, I mean, they would, like, probably treat you like royalty over there. They really would.
Well, they're very big on the hospitality thing. If they've invited you there, if you're their guest, boy, I mean, you do get the full treatment. That's just kind of their deal to begin with, is hospitality. It's a tradition there. But yes, I imagine with Little House on the Prairie, from what I've seen online and in the fan mail, I think that any of us from the show, yeah, they'd roll out the red carpet.
Sure. Now, how about the book? Like, I know you have the audio book out now. Do you get, like, a lot of... reaction from overseas from the book?
I do, because people, you know, they can get it online if it's not there. And of course, I did do a separate book deal of the book in French. So I have the whole front. The book is out in French. You can get the book in hardcover, paperback, Kindle, the audio version, or you can get it in French. It's in every format imaginable here. But yeah, so it was a big. Well, okay, I made. The New York Times bestseller list, like, number 30. I made the Washington Post bestseller list, like, 16, 17, somewhere there. But I made the French bestseller list, I made number 15.
Wow.
Now, that's not American authors' French bestseller list. That's just the French bestseller list, because my book came out in French.
Did you do the audiobook in French, too? Like, did you actually?
No, I have not done that, although I feel a challenge coming on.
Absolutely, you have to.
I know that's gonna be. That someone's gonna. Well, you know, if you did the audiobook of it, that would be really, really hard. Not impossible, but really, really.
but the love of Alison in France would triple, probably.
Yes, that terrifyingly. Yeah, yes, probably right.
So, like, how about, like, are we ever going to see this made into a movie, do you think? I mean, can this happen?
What, the book?
Yeah.
My life? I don't know. I mean, usually when that happens, like, right away. And I know I have had friends in Hollywood who went, oh, my God, I'm reading, it's a movie, it's a movie, this title should be a movie. But, you know, saying that and actually having that happen, you know, it's two different things. I don't know. And, you know, there's still people talking about, like, can't there be a reboot of Little House? And sure. I've always said, well, no, because it's trying to get all the lawyers in the room at the same time to agree on one thing. But the other thing is the people who have the ability to say we want to make a reboot have been pushing to do a film version. They're very keen, Tripp Friendly's very keen on doing a film version. And I'm sure his vision of the film is, like, good and all, it's a great idea, but I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it'll get made. I think that Hollywood is such and the studio is such, I don't think that will happen, that they will go through with it. And I've even told them so. I'm like, this is a great idea. But whereas we know that if you walked up and said, okay, I give up, we'll do it as a TV thing, as a reboot or a cast reunion, that would sell immediately and you'd make a ton of money.
Absolutely.
So people have said it's a reboot. So Obviously, it's not up to me as to whether there's a Little House reboot or any of the cast. And there's multiple legal entities who have to get together and agree and shake hands in order for anything like that to remotely take place. But in case you're wondering, the cast are not the ones holding up the works. Pretty much any time someone says, oh, if we did a reunion show, if we did a reboot, pretty much everyone's on the show is like, yep, yeah, sure, fine, okay, call me, whatever. So we're not the holdup.
So the cast is in, they're just waiting for the lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. If somebody actually got it together, because it's not a, but yeah, we, don't worry, it's not the cast, or we're not putting the blockade on that.
So the one thing I was thinking too, like, you know, because the book is called Confessions of the Prairie Bridge. Is there any that you held out? Is there any that you're holding off? Is there any more confessions that we can expect in the future?
Yes, because I am, I'm still writing things about stuff I want to do. And, of course, my agent is like, okay, so what sequel? Come on, you could do like four more of these. You know you could. there's endless stories. If you've read my book, you've seen my life takes a lot of very bananas, wacky turns. So there's always some other insane story that, like, did. I mean, when I wrote the book, I mean, I handed in so many pages, they had to cut it down to 300-something pages. They're like, because they said, we're not printing the Encyclopedia Britannica, lady. We got to edit this. So even then, I mean, if I joke, good God, just what I cut out would fit in the book. So obviously there's more stories, and that is, and there's so much since writing a book and having the whole bizarre experience of a hit book has created a whole thing. It's like, I would love to write about that. Of course, I'm crazy. I also still have this idea for a cookbook I've been meaning to do. But having played Nelly, it's a cookbook for people who can't cook at all. It's called Who's Going to Do the Cooking?
I like that.
Right? Like that's something, yeah, based on the infamous line to Mrs. Olson, who's going to do the cooking? Because that's the thing, hardly anybody knows how to cook anymore. It's terrible. It's a shame, really.
I think the people that do know how to cook end up going on TV cooking shows.
Then they get cooking shows, right? Never end up. But I talk to people, and they're like, they can't put something in the microwave. I mean, it's terrible. People are helpless.
Yeah, whole weird thing going on right now. Either people can cook, can't cook, but most people refuse to cook either way.
Right, and then they just don't. Now it's too easy. Was it Grubhub? Dial your phone, and it used to be there were a few places delivered. Now it's just, it's way too easy to just not cook. There's too many options.
Yeah, when McDonald's starts delivering, you know there's problems.
Yeah, right. It's like it was too hard to go. What, does McDonald's every 10 feet?
Where should we send everybody to get the book, to keep up to date on you, get more
Absolutely.
Info?
Well, I have you know, my fabulous website. I have, of course, my main website, which is bonnetheads.com. BONNETHEADS, bonnetheads.com for all you bonnetheads. And you can see what I'm doing there. And, of course, sign up for the Nelly newsletter, and you'll see where to sign up for the newsletter on there, and Loose Gravel Prod, and you can sign up for the newsletter. And if you see my Facebook page, of course, I'm Allison Arngrim, and I have the Allison Arngrim fan page. And, of course, I'm Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Arngrim, really easy to find, all those things. I'm on everything. And I started another site, too. I have the AllisonArngrim.net, which is sort of the more grown-up, fancy site with, like, how to reach my agent. But we still, of course, have bonnetheads.com, where we have all the cool fan stuff.
Yeah, and the newsletter. I mean, I get it, and I love it.
You're getting that newsletter, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and it gives you so much detail and like up to date stuff, and it's not just info on you; it's on the cast too. So I mean, you really keep everybody up to date on everything.
I do, because I do. I boast about the rest of the cast. That's what's nice, because I give all, here's where I'm going to be, and et cetera, but then I do prairie tidbits, but I update on the cast because they don't all have newsletters. Some of them have indeed very active Facebook accounts and whatnot, but not all of them are as shameless promoters as I am. And so I put that out there because they're all doing stuff. Karen Grassley still does theater and pops up in films. Of course, Charlotte Stewart is still working, and then she's touring. She's doing all the stuff because her husband does all the things with the meteorites and the gems. So she's out there with her beetle bags and her book at those shows as well. And Dean Butler has projects coming up. So everyone has stuff going on. So we always, check in with them, go, what do you want in the newsletter? And we make sure to put it out there because if they're fans of mine and they find out that Charlotte Stewart is guest starring in a TV show or that Karen Grassley is starring in a play, they're going to want to go. They want to go see this. If Dean Butler's making a personal appearance down the street for them, these are the people who are going to want to go. So absolutely, we make sure that everything the rest of the cast of Little House is doing is thoroughly reported in the Nelly newsletter.
And it's done very well.
Yeah, because I will. I'll promote other people. I mean, that's what it's funny. I know there's a lot. It's Hollywood actors. It's all stab each other in the back is the image we have, and that's certainly true in some quarters. But Little House, I guess we're a little nicer, the people from Little House on the Prairie. And I've always been one of those rising tide floats all boats people. If someone from the show is doing something interesting, I have no problem promoting that. Well, and speaking of which, okay, cast member I am most currently proud of and amazed by, Wendy, Baby Grace. Remember the Turnbaugh twins who played little tiny Baby Grace, Brenda and Wendy. Well, little Baby Grace, well, obviously they have grown up and gorgeous young women. Wendy's got a book coming out.
Oh.
And you would think, okay, come on, Baby Grace, what is she going to... No, this is going to be it. I think she may well blow all of our books out of the water. And when she started telling me about it, I was like, you are kidding me. I was like, okay, I'd like to get on this train. This is a great idea. She'd been writing a whole thing. She was doing like a blog, kind of, a mom blog thing. Okay. And it got really interesting at one point when she had a brain tumor.
Oh.
Which turned out to be benign, but was quite large. And she indeed had to have very serious surgery and came through with flying colors, but it was pretty scary. And having to, explain to her kids, like, yeah, mom's going to the hospital. Yikes. And she did this, and she wrote about this, and I was like, whoa, I was really impressed. It was just incredible. And she's now got a book coming out any second, and it's particularly impressive because it's for a certain market that has been ignored, I know, by our cast. It's a day-to-day Little House devotional. It's for people who are Little House fans who pray daily. It's a whole thing with stuff from the Bible and stuff from Little House and a whole spiritual journal thing by Baby Grace. Go figure.
Interesting.
And the thing is, she's really good at this stuff. I mean, this isn't a book that I would write, but it's definitely a book she would write. And she's really good at this stuff. The stuff that she's been sending me and telling me about and the stuff about, I'm like, wait, this is huge. This is going to be fabulous. And she's like, oh, gee, I hope so. And she's got a big book deal. I mean, she's got a publisher. It's like coming out. She's like handing in the final edit. This is like happening any minute.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, Wendy Lee, it's going to blow your mind. She's really good.
I'm intrigued. I'm
right.
Ready.
And I'm just thinking of all, so many people who do watch Little House, who do, take the messages from Little House as part of their spirituality, of their belief system. And to have this book, I'm like, you nailed it, girl. Go for it.
You know what, though? Like, I mean, saying that, like, I know I've personally, like, shows like Little House and Happy Days and stuff like that I grew up with. Like, I remember... as I've gotten older, the messages that were there were such life-teaching messages that I've sat, like, my children down, like, here, you need to sit and watch this. This is going to teach you. It really, really
and
does.
People have gotten so much out of it. I mean, well, that's like, okay, with my radio show thing I'm doing, I say, the Alison Arngram show, but I say, here we're going to talk about things that make you feel good, the TV shows that made you feel good, the movies that made you feel good, the people who were in them, and people who are doing things now to make the world a better place. That's the running theme of my radio show. So obviously it was great. I had on Michael Learned, and I've had on people who some of them from the older shows, who bring back those memories that people had of great shows that had a positive message, that had stuff you could really use in your life, that you could learn from. And I have a lot of those people come on my show. And I have people who are doing things now, have like major charities that they're doing things for children or for animals, and just really doing wonderful things to help people. And I think we need more of that. You know, there's plenty. There's lots and lots of negativity. There's no shortage. If you want to sit around and watch stuff that's got a really upsetting and terrible message, there you will have no trouble finding that. But TV shows that have a positive and uplifting message and have information and the kind of messages and stories that make you feel better about yourself and want to be a better person, I think that's the thing I want to see.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
And here, like I said, there's so many, it's just, you know, here's our little baby Grace is, as you know, and I'm like, I'm blown away. And like I said, I've been reading the stuff on her blog and the things that she writes on Facebook and the thing, and I'm like, she can write. So it's like, oh no, baby Grace is going to have the most successful book of all. Ah!
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. I can't wait to read this now.
Right? I'm telling you, no, it's going to be huge.
Baby Grace.
Who I mean, it's hilarious because you go, okay, well, was she like two on the show? Well, yes, but she's had a very interesting life, and part of her, you know, being a child on a little house was part of that. And yes, I mean, she and her sister were tiny, tiny when they're on. So it's not like she has day-to-day memory. You know, we were sitting in the prop talking to the director. No, I mean, it's not like. But she remembers then growing up as a child watching the show and having this personal connection where she and her sister, basically as infants, had been baby Grace. And then she's, of course, remained friends with all the people from the show. And it's just, it's a fascinating story. And then, as I said, you know, when she had the surgery and we're all frightened out of our wits, and her sister had to take her laptop out of her hands at the hospital because she wanted to continue writing and blogging about it. And they're like, you have to go into surgery now. You have to write about it when you wake up.
Oh, boy. This is going to be interesting.
So, yeah, so there you go. We all support each other in the show, and currently I'm all about baby Grace this week. So.
the next month, the newsletter will be mainly focused on baby Grace.
Well, it's a huge baby Grace section. But yeah, no, I'm absolutely, my money is on this book to blow the rest of us away. So I hope I can keep up.
At that point, you'll be taking over Japan, so you'll be keeping up.
Right. By then, yeah, no, then I'll probably have like a sequel and what have you. But yeah, I've got fun events coming up. I'm doing all sorts of fun things. What am I doing this week? I was going to say, oh, it's like, you know, the holidays are coming. I'm winding down. Not really. I have the Tuesday Night Radio Show. I'm doing a fabulous thing at the Writers Guild where they got together all these actors and all these writers, and we're doing all these readings of these like fabulous upcoming scripts and things. My husband's band is performing over at Viva Cantina in Burbank. They've got like a regular monthly slot there. I'm doing a really crazy thing in November. I'm doing a thing, the Spurdvac Old Time Radio Convention. Have you heard of this, these people?
I saw that in the last newsletter. And I was
right, the Society to Preserve and Encourage Radio Drama, Variety, and Comedy, which has the hilarious name Spurdvac. And they do these events. I get to be Gracie Allen for the weekend. They have a George and Gracie sketch. And I get to pretend to be Gracie Allen for a show, which is great fun to listen to the old shows and reenact radio shows. Phil Proctor from Firesign Theater is going to be there. It's like an all-star thing. It's very cool. I'm doing that. And then I'm going out to, of all places, Greensburg, Indiana. And there's a teacher out there, and he has what you call, like, they used to talk about Chautauqua tents, and it was from Chautauqua, New York, and they would have educational and classical music and sort of community uplifting things. And he's having a Chautauqua program out at the school but he's brought in all these really interesting people. I'm going to be there, an Australian country singer-songwriter named Jamie O'Neill, paleontologist Dr. Peter Larson, filmmaker, Bobby, look at all these people, Ernesto, Romanian translator and film critic. I mean, it's this really wild international cross-section of people who will be speaking and doing symposiums at this event. So I do stuff like that. And then I still have my Nasty Nelly tour, the Nasty Nelly tour of Hollywood. I've got two booked up. I just did the Dearly Departed evening, the Nasty Nelly cocktail party.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Oh, great. It was sold out. Dearly Departed tour, they do a lot of the creepy, like, who got murdered here death tours. That's part of their big thing. Famous haunted places, famous Hollywood death and dismemberment. But they also do stuff that's just very historical. And I have the Nasty Nelly tour where we go to things that are touristy historical sites like the Chateau Marmont, but I actually lived there. So it's all my like personal connections to the Paramount Studios, but that's where I worked. So all these things I have a personal connection to. So you get personal stories. We go to Michael Landon's house and we talk about Michael Landon. We go to Liberace's house and we talk about Liberace. It's really a fun tour. And he, the guy Scott Michaels who runs it, did a whole weekend of different tours and an evening component for his diehard fans. And people, they bought tickets. It was sold out. And the evening was the Nasty Nelly cocktail party, an evening with Alison Arngrim. And I told stories and answered questions, and that was a smash.
That sounds awesome. You know what's funny? You would get a kick out of this. I guess Liberace's house in Vegas was just vacant for a while. And
Yeah, because they had the museum, and then that wasn't happening.
Yeah, and I remember it was up for sale, and I remember seeing the pictures on TMZ. And I just remember showing my wife, I'm like, I would so live in this house. Because it just reminded me of one of my Italian relatives' house from South Philly.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Right? It did. Like some guilty your Italian uncle went crazy with the decorating budget.
Right.
Well, it's like when I went to Elvis's. I went to Graceland. I went, wow, my eyes hurt. Oh, okay. Graceland was like, okay, there's no ceiling on the decor budget. Go nuts to someone who has not really, like, had experience decorating a house. And you got Graceland. it's like, you know, Liberace's a similar thing. But, yeah, I mean, his house in Hollywood and everything. And he's got a place down in Palm Springs, and there was the place in Vegas. It's just gorgeous stuff. But, yeah, I'd live there, too. It's awesome.
So hopefully you'll come back out to Philly again soon. I know I missed you. You were here earlier this year.
I was. I was in town. Yeah, I was out in New York. I was on the Meek and Kelly show and, oh, heavens, and I just did the Rochester Fringe Festival. So, yes, I'm all over the place.
Absolutely. The world can't get enough of Allison.
Right. Well, I'm always Mother's Day weekend. I almost always do New York. I do the Laurie Beachman Theater on Mother's Day weekend. Do like the Saturday night show and then the Mother's Day brunch. You know, we had a fight breakout at Mother's Day brunch last year.
Okay.
who has people thrown out of a show at Mother's Day brunch? I ask you, who has a fight breakout? It was, I don't know, too much in the mimosas. I don't know what happened. They were making the mimosas too strong. It was nuts. I did my show, Saturday night show, late, no problem at all. Sunday matinee show, basically, Mother's Day brunch. And there was a couple, and the staff had made some remarks about do we serve them or not and how much did they drink upstairs before they came to the showroom, and they were a little concerned. And I guess they were rightly concerned because they got into it. And I wasn't clear if they were fighting with each other or the next table exactly what happened. But it got so nuts that we had to stop my show.
Wow.
And I wasn't going to stop the show first. It's like, oh, it'll settle down. No, it was not settling down. And then staff was like, came over to like say, oh, come on, guys, chill out. And they didn't. And they got into it with staff. And when they asked them to leave, they were like, no, we refuse to leave. You'll have to call the police. And they're like, what? And it got completely nuts. And finally, man, so you've got to stop the show. And I had to like leave the stage. And they actually had to people come down from upstairs, other staff show up to like escort them out. And it was quite the scene. And as they said at the place, you know, we've had midnight 1 a.m. shows, wild shows with burlesque dancers, drag queens, you name it, at all hours of the night, and we've never had anything like this. But you have a Mother's Day brunch, and we're, like, practically calling the cops and hauling people out the door.
It's like you would expect that, like, at a Motley Crue concert.
Right, right. And we're like, who gets into a drunken melee at the Mother's Day brunch at the Nellie Olson show? But apparently this is a thing. And then, of course, it got funnier because the guys who work there are very good looking, the people who work at the Laurie Beachman, and a couple of the bigger guys who are particularly good looking. Well, the people who stayed, many of the women began to post things on Facebook about the really hot guy who broke up the fight. So then we had to go, well, which hot guy? And then there was a whole discussion on Facebook about who was the hottest guy who works at the Laurie Beachman.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because there was quite a choice. There was quite a choice of types, but they were all rather tall and well-built, and they all got involved. So then we started saying we're kind of having like almost like a male, like, Mr. Laurie Beachman contest of who was the handsomest staff person who broke up the drunken melee.
Oh, that's so funny. Only you can bring out this of people.
Right, and that's what they all said. They said, this never happens. It's you. This is never happens.
Oh, that's so funny. That is so funny. And now I expect some wild and craziness then if you come to Philly next year.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let's see if you can top it.
Okay, I'll see. Right, Philly. You think I'd have gotten a fight in Philly? No. So I'll see what kind of rabble I can have at my show in Philly next time.
Oh, that'd be too funny. Well, Allison, again, thank you so much for being part of our 300.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And yeah, we love you, and we can't wait to see you back here in Philly.
I'm telling you, before you know it, you're gonna have baby Grace on this show talking about her book. I'm telling you.
Oh, you know it. I totally expect to get an email from Harlan very soon about it.
It's gonna be the thing. You're gonna be amazed. There you go.
I'm on. You don't have to ask me twice.
Okie doke. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Alright, welcome back to Tune In Radio. Bay Ragnar here, and there you go. There she is, Nellie Olson, Miss Allison Ogden. Check her out. She's all over social media, and keep up to date. You can go onto her website, and you can sign up for her newsletter that really, really keeps you in-depth, up-to-date on all the happenings of not only herself, but all the family there at Little House on the Prairie. And don't forget us, too. You can look us up. Totally Jim and Entertainment, or Totally Jim Radio, or myself with Bay Ragnar. And just look for all of us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Like us, love us, follow us. And make sure to subscribe to us on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Stitcher, and basically every podcast outlet out there. Just look for Totally Jim Radio. Make sure to like us, love us, follow us. And we do the same back to you. So, all right, well, thanks again for tuning in tonight. We have, like, episodes almost every night of the week. We're back tomorrow night with an episode of Totally Jim Radio Rocks with LA rocker, shall we say, Bexley, and from Maine, the one and only Mr. Max Ader. Check them out tomorrow night, Totally Jim Radio Rocks, 8 p.m. Eastern. Go on the socials for links and all that fun stuff to tune in. So until next time, stay driven, everybody.